For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The Word of God, very important. Heavenly Father, we commit our hearts before you this morning and we desire to hear of you through your Word and by your Spirit. And Lord, glorify yourself, and we praise you and thank you. And Lord, we thank you in advance for the things that you are doing in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We're looking today at Seed Faith Principles Part 3. Now, it is very important, very, very important that you do not look upon the Word of God as just a theoretical book, a book of theories, or even a book of stories, or just things of interest, but you look at it as a book that is for your whole life, spirit, soul and body. It touches on your whole life. So you might hear this sermon, and so the words have been sown into your spirit. However, as we do know, in people's hearts, there can be stoniness, there can be thorns and so on. Very important that you go out, when you go out of here, out of the word environment, that you put it into operation in your life. It's not just a theoretical thing, but it is very, very practical. Very practical. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Let's have a look at that. First of all, this morning, we've been looking at this every time we've come around this subject, Seed Faith Principles. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been understanding the importance of faith in relationship to the kingdom of God. We understand that faith must increase like a seed. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word is sown. As we operate in faith, physical things can be sown. Our words and actions sown. And we should expect a harvest of faith. We should expect a harvest. Today we're going to look in a little bit more detail on the last two areas. Understand spiritual law. We've already started looking at that. Such as the law of sowing and reaping and the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And also understand that the enemy sows seeds too. Okay, so there is the sowing of good seed, but all around us in this present evil world, there is the sowing of evil seed happening constantly, constantly. Because the devil does know that this whole planet operates by law. Spiritual law, the law of sowing and reaping, is in operation this whole planet, and the Lord has put that into place. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. We having the same spirit, that's little s, spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. So we see the characteristics of having a spirit of faith. You believe the word. You're not just believing anything, you believe, and on that basis you therefore speak. And notice he says, we also believe and therefore speak. So Paul is saying here, it's not just a theoretical thing, it's saying, I believe the word, and when I go out into this present evil world, I'm going to believe the word over and above what the world might say, and I'm going to speak the word, and it has to be in opposition many times to what the world has to say as well. So the important thing is that we have a spirit of faith, not a spirit of doubt or fear, but a spirit of faith is inside us. It's important to understand, because these whole principles, the seed faith principles, rely on the seed of faith, on the word sown, and us expecting it to be working as we're believing. If we don't believe, it's going to have a consequence on what type of harvest we're going to get. So if you look at Matthew 17, we'll go over to that. Matthew 17. And we see, we'll just quote from one verse in Matthew 17 here, because we've already talked about that whole section. But just the comparison to what faith is compared to. In verse 20 of Matthew 17, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So notice the components of faith is present here. He's saying you have to have belief, not unbelief, because unbelief will stop the operation of God, and we see that in that previous section where the lunatic boy was delivered. And he's saying here, if you have faith, so we can all have faith, okay? We can all have faith, and we should have faith. We don't want to be people of no faith, but we can all have faith. We've got that faith, but we've got to plant it. We've got to believe. We've got to use it. And it says there, ye shall say. We've got to say, speak. So it's not just, oh yes, I've got faith, but I never speak. No, no. I have faith that God is my fortress. So therefore I speak it. I say, God is my fortress and refuge, my deliverance, my shield, my rock. So actually use your mouth to speak against little mountains in your life, against the things that shouldn't be there, but also for production in your life. You're speaking a word of faith. You're speaking out something and saying, this is the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, this imagination is trying to say to me that I'm going to be having an accident and this is what's going to happen. But no, this is the way it's going to be. God is my fortress and refuge. I'm delivered from all evil. That's what I believe. That's what I speak. Can you see? You see, this is... And so it's important to start off with that seed. It might be little, but as you operate in faith, it grows. Turn over to Mark 4. Mark 4, and look at verse 14. First of all, Mark 4:14. I know I'm going over a bit of ground, but it's important. So that if you ever listen to this sermon series again, you'll get it over and over, coming through Mark 4:14. First of all, and it says, "The sower soweth the word." The sower soweth the word. Okay, and then he talks about the different types of hearts. Different types of hearts. We'll come back to that. But the sower soweth the word. And go across to verse 30. And Jesus is speaking here and he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Okay, so we saw that when we operate by faith, we have to operate by love as well, because faith which worketh by love. We saw that there are people that can give away their body, they give away everything they have, but if they don't have charity, it's nothing. And we don't want to be ineffective people whilst we're on this earth. And so we have to operate by love. Love of God, love of the brethren, love of your neighbour, even love of your enemy. Okay, so we have to operate by love, and so in accordance with that. So we expect a harvest. Look at Galatians 6. And as we are, and we're looking at this spiritual law now, the law of sowing and reaping, which we just saw then, the whole of the kingdom of God is likened unto sowing a seed and getting growth and harvest. Okay, the whole of the kingdom of God operates in this manner. So it's important for us to understand this. The spiritual law. Spiritual law is in operation here. And we'll start from verse 6 and go to verse 10. Notice what it says here. Let him that is taught in the word. So if you're taught in the word, you're not just going to leave it aside. What are you going to do? Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So communicate is a two-way process. Okay, I can't communicate with you if you don't say something or give something back. It's very important to see that. Communication is a two-way thing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, everyone's doing sowing of some sort, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So people are sowing all the time. We see the sowing happening all the time. And we can make deliberate choices to sow according to faith. We just saw the sower soweth a word. So we can make deliberate choices to sow the right things. If we sow the right things, we're going to get the right things. If we sow bad things, what are we going to get? A good crop, do you think? No, you're going to get a blessing? No, the Bible tells you in the next verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh. Now what is the flesh? Alright, just think about what the five physical senses. Okay? Now it's important for us to see that if that's all you're about is what I can feel, touch, taste, smell, hear and see, if you're thinking only on that line and you're neglecting the things of the Lord, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm not going to believe it unless I can feel it, unless I can touch the hands, put my fingers, my hand into his side. Who said that? Thomas, who is also known as the doubter. You know, you don't want to be like that. You don't want to sow to the flesh. You want to sow to the spirit. That's what it says here. All right. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The whole of this world is lined with that, isn't it? Corruption and destruction and things like that. The whole of this world is aligned along that. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit, it's capital S, reap life everlasting, which is quality. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Is this a spiritual law? It is. In due season we shall reap. But there's a condition to it, is it? If we faint not. We're reaping good things if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, so God may lead you to give something to a non-Christian who in time, might be 3 years, 5 years, 3 minutes later, might remember, hey, that person who was a Christian did this. Was that a seed that you sowed? Yes. And that can bring forth a harvest later on. So there is a sowing that can be done and should be done, even unto all men, as it says there. But it talks about especially unto them who are of the household of faith, because the household of faith understands faith and is good ground, should be good ground to sow into. So especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we know that we should be expecting a harvest. We should be expecting a harvest. When we sow things, we're doing it deliberately so that we're functioning according to the kingdom of God. Can you see what I'm saying? It's important for us to see we're functioning according to the kingdom of God, so we should be expecting a harvest to come our way. And not to be weary in well-doing. No. We take up. We keep on going. We look for opportunities. We look for opportunity to sow. If the Lord says sow that word or that action or that physical thing into someone's life, whether it be a non-Christian or a Christian, do it in obedience to God and do it in love and in faith. And expect, pray for that person and expect a harvest on that seed. That's not a selfish thing. That's an operation in the kingdom of God thing. That's a faith operation thing. Because you want to be a channel of blessing. You want to be used in this area. Have a look at Acts 19. We'll have a look at some verses in Acts 19. And then we'll start to look at how the enemy might be sowing things as well. But I just want us to see that the type of harvest that we can get as we are doing the right things, as we are doing the good things in our society now. The Lord's been speaking to me over the last 2 or 3 years about preparation and sowing. Preparation, it's been coming to me strongly, constantly. Preparation and sowing in this church. Preparation and sowing. And if you if you've been looking and understanding, you'll see that it's exactly that, preparation and sowing. Okay, so we just want to look at from verse 18 to 20 here. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Okay, so the word was preached. Many that believed came. So believing what? They're not just believing any old thing. They're believing the word, the truth, confessed. So that's obviously faith, isn't it? Right? Remember, faith believes and speaks. Faith believes and speaks. Remember that. Faith believes and speaks. If you believe, you're going to speak it. Okay, so if you get into a tight situation or trouble comes your way and all types of rubbish comes out of your mouth, what's that saying? Are you operating by faith? No. You can choose to believe and speak the right things, even though your flesh might be having all types of symptoms of fear. You say, no, I choose to believe the word. Okay. All right, these people believed, came and confessed, and showed their deeds. Showed their deeds. Faith without action is
dead.
Okay, very important. Showed their deeds. What did they do? Let's have a look in verse 19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So what type of environment can the word of God grow? There's an agricultural term. Grow and prevail. Another scripture talks about multiplied. What type of environment can the word of God grow and prevail? It has to be a faith environment, doesn't it? the faith environment where people actually believe. Not only actually believe, they actually confess and speak it. Not only that, they actually get their deeds in line with what they believe. Do you think these books of curious arts were a lot of money? 50,000 pieces of silver? That sounds to me like a lot of money. A lot of money. By them burning it, what are they saying? No value to me anymore. Doesn't hold any value to me. Do you think in our society there needs to be, you know, that doesn't hold any value to me anymore, and they cast it aside, burn it, whatever, put it in the rubbish dump? Do you think that needs to be done in our society? If people believe the word, the gospel, and say the kingdom of God is the way I'm going to go, faith is the way I'm going to go, that's what they'll need to do, isn't it? They'll have to set aside their idols and their gods and their curious arts, etc., etc. They'll have to say, I don't put any value on that. I count it as dung. Another scripture talks about that. I count that as dung to be cast out, put on the rubbish heap. That type of environment, the faith type of environment, is where the word can grow and prevail and multiply. That's the type of environment God wants in this city, in this nation, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, we start with a small little seed. Yeah, it's like a grain of mustard seed. But it's got to be sown, nurtured, sown. We expect that the faith environment will cause the word of God to grow and prevail. Now, the enemy is also wanting something to grow and prevail, but it's not the word of God. Okay? Now, these people who had the books of curious arts and so on, they didn't get that by chance, random coincidence. Things had been sown into their lives so that they built up this and held on to this and valued that and so on. Have a look at Mark 4. We'll look at 18 to 20. The devil is out sowing voraciously. And if only people would understand this, they would start to see how things are working in our society and how things should work in the church and in the kingdom of God as well. Mark 4, look at verse 18. It says, And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, thorns come from seeds as well, don't they? Weeds come from seeds. And this is what it's talking about here, sown among thorns. So the word, if you try to sow something in a ground which is full of thorns and that, you're going to find it's not going to produce anything, as it says there. I hear the word, but there's all types of things choking it, and it becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful. So, who has been sowing these things? So that there is thorns in people's lives. Well, it's not a coincidence. There's someone out there, as we said before, the devil sowing, and people believing the wrong things and allowing that to produce in their lives a harvest of thorns and weeds and filth. Have a look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. So we have to understand the enemy is sowing seeds too. He'll try to sow seeds into Christians' lives because he doesn't want you to receive the word at all. We're looking at Matthew 13. We'll start from verse 24. Then we'll go to verse 30. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." So once again we see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is likened unto sowing. Good seed in his field. But, okay, and here we see someone else coming into the picture here. Because we're not on neutral ground on the planet Earth. It's not neutral on the planet Earth. We are living in a fallen world. Verse 25, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now tares, when it grows up, looks similar to wheat. Well, the wheat's good, but the tares is a weed. Verse 26, "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let us both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So we see that ultimately there's going to be a great big gathering. Whilst we're on the earth, there's someone doing sowing as well. We see it's an enemy. The enemy of God is sowing constantly. We see the thorns, we see the thistles, we see the weeds. And we've got to understand that this type of thing is happening on a constant basis, constantly. But what does the Bible tell us? The Bible's very clear that we must be wary about what we listen to, what we expose ourselves to. We must be wary about where we go, what we do, about guarding the heart. Why? Because the heart has to be the good ground by which, when there's sowing happening, there's going to be a good crop come out of that. Okay, so if we understand that, then we're going to be guarding our heart. We're going to be saying, Lord, I'm keeping my heart pure from you, for you, so that your word comes in and is going to produce good fruit. Good fruit. So let's go back to Mark 4 again. Verse 20. Mark 4, verse 20. And this is what the Lord is wanting. Not just in the hearts of individuals, but in the society as well. If you were to look at our society now, you'd see all types of wrong things are sprouting up all around. Okay? Wrong crops all around us. Notice what it says in verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it." So they have a heart that receives it. "And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the good ground doesn't have the thorns. The good ground doesn't have as it says there, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choking the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The good ground doesn't have the stoniness. The good ground is a prepared ground. And over we emphasize, you know, you have to take responsibility for your faith walk. You have to sow seeds. And as you're sowing, you're believing and you're speaking and you're expecting a harvest in due season. It's important for us to keep our heart diligently to make sure that the wrong things are not in there. And so we emphasize the Word of God constantly. And when you go out of here, when you go out of a Word environment, such as a service like this, you're not going out into neutral ground, you're going out into a place where the enemy is seeking to sow seeds, to get those things in. So you'll get a worry or a care come to you. You don't just treat it as a neutral thing. You say, I cast down that care. I refuse to fear. I refuse to worry in Jesus' name. You cast down that care. Verse 23 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. So have to be taking heed what we hear. That's why I say turn off the radio. Turn off the television. I'm not saying you can't do it. But if it's on all the time and it's feeding you to the detriment of you getting the word into you, that's not good. So take heed what you hear, with what measure ye meet, that is how much you're putting in your hearing. Your hearing is connected to inner man. It shall be measured to you, and with and unto you that hear, he's talking about hearing the word, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, that is, if you don't have a hearing ear, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. A hearing ear is very, very important. If you don't have a hearing ear, then there's going to be things that will be taken away from you. If you have a hearing ear, you're going to get that reaping of good things, as we saw before, through the sowing on good ground. Praise the Lord. So take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Get the word in constantly with joy, believing it as it's coming, believing it, thanking the Lord for it. Take heed what you hear. Praise the Lord. So let me just, as we conclude this series, what have we learned about seed faith principles? The first one was we learned to understand the importance of faith in relation to the kingdom of God. Secondly, we understood that faith must increase like a seed. And faith was compared to a seed. The kingdom of God has been compared to seed being sown. And so you use your faith, and bit by bit, you're using it constantly. You're believing, you're saying, you're showing your deeds, you're using it constantly, you should grow stronger and stronger in faith. Okay, if you don't, then you'll just remain at a certain level, or even lose, as we saw before, lose what you had. But you've got faith is a constant walk of increase, not going backwards. Thirdly, we should expect a harvest of faith. A very important principle. We should expect a harvest. If we don't expect a harvest of faith, what might happen? We might give up. Because it says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you're not expecting that reaping of good things, you could faint and give up. But if you say, no, I'm expecting good things. I've done good sowing. I've been constantly sowing faith, word, getting that out, doing the right thing, and I'm expecting good things. I know that God rewards the diligent person. person who seeks him. Praise the Lord. I'm expecting those good things. I'm not going to faint. You know, we should all say we're not going to faint. We're not going to faint. We expect a good harvest. We shall not faint. We expect a good harvest. Even a little seed, we sow that seed, expecting a good harvest. The fourth thing was to understand spiritual law, such as the law of sowing and reaping, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and so on. We saw that spiritual law is very important. We could say a lot more about that, and I will in future. But everything around us, the whole of creation, is governed by law, God's law. Okay? The devil can't just put into operation something that's not already there. The law of sowing and reaping is already present. So he uses it, but he sows bad seed. The thorns that we saw before. He sows bad seed. So he's using it, okay? Just like someone can use the law of gravity and throw people off a cliff, we can use the law of gravity in the right way and get a jet to fly into the air. So you can see that the laws are always present, but how do we use them? And fifthly, and the last one we looked at, was to understand that the enemy sows seeds too. Okay, and by understanding that, then we can take heed what we hear, take heed what we do, and guard our hearts, keep our hearts with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life, the things that are going to come forth, good things, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for showing us through your word the nature of the kingdom of God and the nature of this whole planet that we're living on. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us and increasing us in understanding. I pray a special blessing on all that have heard this word in the name of Jesus. Let there be an increase as we have had hearing ears, ears to hear, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory. And Lord, we open up our hearts even now to hear more from you.